Good morning. Morning. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. Today we are going to discuss lukewarm Catholicism, lukewarm Catholics. What is lukewarm Catholicism? Perhaps we have all been lukewarm at one time or another. We all may have a different idea of what that term means. Perhaps it is someone who does not attend Mass regularly. Perhaps it is someone who does not take their faith in Christ as seriously as they would like to. Perhaps it's someone who has fallen away and hasn't been to church in years. How does this happen? Perhaps there is something that is keeping them away. There are a lot of perhaps good and bad reasons why this kind of thing can happen to someone. But whatever the reason, we all know that God wants more for each of us. He wants us all to have a deep and abundant life of faith in His church. For many so-called lukewarm Catholics, perhaps they feel the Holy Spirit inside calling them back, but they don't know how to respond. If you are listening to my voice, and this is you, you feel as if God is calling you to something more, a deeper relationship. Today, I would like to provide for you some practical steps, a roadmap of sorts, to a deeper relationship with Christ and His church. So the first question is how? How do I rebuild a relationship with God and His church? It might seem very hard, like climbing a mountain. Maybe you don't know where to start. The good news is if you start with a few simple baby steps, God will pick you up and carry you right up to the top of that mountain. So I would like to give you four simple steps that are sure to light your heart on fire with love for our blessed Lord and His church. The first one is prayer. I know, not too exciting, huh? But stay with me on this. I remember when I was a young kid, the priest at our parish said in his homily that we should pray the rosary each and every day. I remember thinking, I don't want to pray the rosary every day. That's boring. At the same time, I didn't know how to pray the rosary. All I knew was that it was very long and very repetitive, and I certainly didn't have the patience to wade myself through it. Well, that was many years ago, and I'm so glad that I've actually learned the rosary. And now I want to share with you what I learned. The first thing I would say is to keep it very simple. When you are just beginning, the rosary can feel very long. So don't pray the entire rosary. Pray just a few decades. I would rather that you pray one heartfelt decade every day than lump and wallow carelessly through 5 decades once or twice, only to eventually give it up out of boredom. The second thing I would say is that the rosary is made up of 2 components or 2 modes of prayer. The first being what we call vocal prayer. Vocal prayer is simply the reciting of the Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and Glory Bes that we all learned when we were children. But you may ask, why should I repeat these prayers over and over again? What sense does that make? Well, in reality, it makes perfect sense. At first, it may seem to be pointless, but as we are drawn deeper and deeper into the mystery of God, these beautiful words, Thy will be done. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. These words become alive, powerful, mystical. Devotion to what these words truly mean, that devotion draws us deeper into the ocean of God's love. That devotion reveals to us who God is. They reveal to us His sacred and loving heart. The second component or mode of prayer in the rosary is what we call meditation. As I'm speaking the prayers, my mind dwells upon the mysteries of Christ's life, his birth, his passion and death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. Each decade of the Rosary is dedicated to one of these events from the life of Christ. As we pray each decade, through use of our intellects, our minds, our imaginations, we quiet our lives and we reflect upon the mystery of Christ's life. You see, in this way, the Rosary is kind of like a book of the Bible, a book of the Gospel. We use it to internalize what we read in the Bible. Therefore, if you're not familiar with the Gospel stories enough that you can reflect upon them in the Rosary, then perhaps, first, you should spend time reading the Gospels. So I encourage each one of you to pray the Rosary daily. Pray it not out of obligation, but to find there the love that Christ and his mother have for you. If you need help learning how to actually pray the Rosary, you can find simple little pamphlets that explain it quite well. Or better yet, hang around your parish after Mass. Sure enough, you'll find some older folks praying the Rosary. Invite yourself to sit down and join them. They will be happy you did, and you will be happy you did also. So after prayer, my second tip is to read. Read. For example, read Lives of the Saints. The saints are people just like you and me. They experience the same struggles that we struggle with each and every day. But through some ordinary or perhaps some extraordinary manner, they were able to overcome. Take the time to find out how. Lives of the Saints are not simply just Catholic biographies. They're like instruction manuals on how to live this spiritual life. St. Thérèse, Story of a Soul, is a great place to start. In addition to Lives of the Saints, I would also guide you towards good Catholic literature. Or you might say, I don't know where to begin. That's okay. I've got a list for you. Here we go. The Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. Prayer Primer by Father Thomas Dubay. A Father Who Keeps His Promises by Dr. Scott Hahn. The Fulfillment of All Desire by Dr. Ralph Martin. The Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis. And last but certainly not least is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I'm certain after reading these books, you could no longer be considered a lukewarm Catholic. So we've discussed prayer and we've discussed reading. That brings us to the third of our tips, which is the sacraments. Did you know of the seven sacraments, there are only two sacraments that you are able to receive regularly? That would be the Holy Eucharist and confession. There's a reason for that, you know? So let's talk about it. Confession. Confession. Why do I need to confess my sins to another man? Why do I need to confess my sins to another man? That question, isn't that question, doesn't that articulate, in a sense, pride? What did Christ teach us about pride? What did he do at the Last Supper? He got down on his hands and his knees, and he washed the feet of the apostles. We must learn from Christ's example. We, too, must humble ourselves. This journey of faith is a journey into humility. All of us should humble ourselves before God and admit we are wrong. It's only in the act of confession that conversion happens. You see, it's not just a natural act that we are participating in. It's also a supernatural action by which we receive grace. That grace transforms us, makes us into images of Christ. Therefore, the next time we are tempted to commit that sin, we are supernaturally stronger, more able to resist. Don't shortchange yourself on the sacrament of confession. Go to confession. Find the joy of confession. Certainly it's not easy, but it is so good. That's one of the sacraments. What about the other I mentioned, the Eucharist? The Holy Eucharist. The Mass. The Mass. The Mass is what being Catholic is all about. It is our identity. It is our source of life and the summit of our love. Why? Are you bored at Mass? Do you feel like you don't get anything out of Mass? Is the priest's homily putting you to sleep? Is it painful to listen to the choir? How can I stand up here right now and proclaim that the Mass is the source and summit of the Catholic faith, and I can be so enthusiastic about that statement? All the while, many of you feel bored. How can that be possible? Are we talking about the same thing? Look with me for a moment. Look at that altar. Do you see it? Reflect on this with me for just a moment. On this altar right here, when the priest holds in his sacred hands the host and he speaks the words, "Take this, all of you, and eat. This is my body, which will be given up for you." At those words, the bread ceases to be bread, but instead is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. I want to repeat that. The bread ceases to be bread, but instead is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. God becomes present right here, on this altar, for you and for me. Pretty amazing. But that's not all. Around this altar, around the prayer of the Mass, gathers the entire mystical body of Christ, the Church. Do you know what that means? That at this altar, during the Mass, all of heaven is present. All of the saints, all of the angels, all of those who have gone before us, united in Christ. All present here at this altar. Those near and dear ones who have passed on, who we have the hope that they are in heaven, at this altar, we are united with them in true, holy communion. Think about that the next time you see a lonely widow approaching this altar. Do you think that perhaps this sacrifice might mean something significant to her? Do you think she says that she doesn't get anything out of Mass? Perhaps then we are just too distracted with the riches and pleasures of our daily lives to stop and see with spiritual eyes and open hearts what is happening here. I don't care how bad the preaching is. That seems so trivial compared to what I just described. Upon reflection, What could keep you away from this altar? Nothing. Nothing. But it gets even better than that. I've just scratched the surface. When we approach this altar, when we receive God, when we receive God in the Holy Eucharist, He comes to dwell in us. We become living temples of all of His glory. Think about that. That's how much He loves us. He wants complete union with us, and He offers that to us each and every day upon this altar. We're not talking about the next life. We're talking about this morning on this altar. God, help us. Open our eyes that we can see. Open our hearts that we can understand what we are doing when we approach this altar, reflecting upon this now, reflecting upon what we just spoke about. Now, confession may seem to have a different urgency. Sure thing, I'm going to make sure I'm ready to receive communion. That's what confession is all about. Return to the sacraments. Return to confession. And come on bended knee to this altar and love our dear precious Lord. Give yourself over to His Sacred Heart that He pours down on this altar, and never again say the words, "I don't get anything out of Mass." Nothing, nothing, no words since the beginning of time have been less true than those. You get everything out of Mass. You get everything out of Mass. Just open your heart to see what you have here on this altar. So we've looked at praying. We looked at reading. We looked at the sacraments. That's three. My last practical tip for you is this. Be countercultural. Countercultural. What do I mean by that? The world has an agenda for you. What is that agenda? It is certainly not for you to get closer to God. It is not for you to become an active and devout Catholic. You are a temple of Christ and His Holy Spirit. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you have the potential to be an evangelical force like the world has never seen. What is the world's agenda for you? Well, that's simple. The world does not want to be evangelized. The world wants to be hedonized. Therefore, the world wants to neutralize you, to handicap you from your mission. Ever wonder why there is such a strong societal push to eliminate all recognition of God in the public square? Society is trying to neutralize evangelization. So how does society neutralize you from your mission? First, make you believe that you don't have a mission. How many of you are thinking right now as I'm saying that you have a mission? How many of you are thinking, "No, that's not for me. I can't do that. I'm not holy enough for that. That kind of stuff is for priests and religious." Wrong. All lies. You are called. You are equipped by the Holy Spirit. The world wants to make you believe that you don't have a mission. You have a mission. The second way the world neutralizes you, confusion. Confusion. Ever wonder why there's always so much political debate going on? The definition of marriage, right-to-life issues, right-wing, left-wing. The idea of what is right and what is wrong is being erased from our society. By overcomplicating issues of truth, society is replacing truth with moral relativity. Now you do not know how to defend what is right. After all, you might offend someone. The third way to neutralize you is through distraction. You can't evangelize if you are too busy or too tired. You can't evangelize if you are glued to the television, to video games, or to social media around the clock. So be countercultural. Be countercultural. Turn off the TV. Don't get involved in the hype of reality shows or sitcoms. Instead, focus on your own life, your own family, your parish, your community, your mission. Learn your faith. Pass on your faith to those in your own life, in your own family, in your parish, in your community. Live your faith. Change the lives of people around you, people who are suffering now because everyone they know is watching TV instead of helping them through the trials of their lives. This is what I mean to be countercultural. Turn off the TV. Learn your faith. Live your faith. So we've looked at four practical steps you can do to renew your faith. Prayer, reading, sacraments, and being countercultural. I remember once I was a lukewarm Catholic. Eventually, I became a fallen away Catholic. That all changed for me with just a few baby steps back into the heart of the church. I'm very glad that I took those first steps, and every day I continue to make more and more steps. I would encourage you to do the same. I know you won't ever regret it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us here today. We ask you to bless us, protect us, guide us, and nurture us. Today we find ourselves hungering for more of you in our lives. We pray that you will guide our steps, enlighten our minds, transform our hearts, and bring us closer to your heart. We ask this in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, everybody.